Today, as we come to the table,
God's really ministered to my heart, Mark. How are you going to know what people are like who are fatigued if you're never fatigued? How are you going to know what it's like to lose sleep if you sleep good every night? So understand that when God takes you through all the stuff you're going through right now, rather than feeling sorry for yourself, realizing you're in boot camp. God's got to teach you what it's like to have these struggles you're having so that when somebody comes up to you and has the same struggle, it's not just, I'll pray for you, brother. It's, you know what, let's pray. It's a whole different heart. And you begin to pray your heart into that person's life. There's nothing but going through that pain yourself that does that. You can't associate.
If you're going through something right now, today's message has some hope to provide. Pastor Mark will talk with you about ways God might be preparing you for a unique ministry. You're in boot camp, training for the way in which God will be using you to bless someone else's life. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. It's not easy to go through a difficult situation. It doesn't matter what it is. The hard times can seem endless and pointless, but Pastor Mark will be encouraging you to remember God's faithfulness and to cling to it in the trials. Don't forget that He's got a plan. You can trust Him to bring it all together at the right time, in the right place. With that being said, turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 2 and join Pastor Mark as he continues his message, In His Time.
The Scripture teaches us to bloom where we're planted. And what that means is, whether you're really fulfilling your complete call that God has given you or not, whether you're really mature enough or ready to go, serve. Be about the business of the Father. When they found Jesus at 12 years old, what did He say to His mom and dad? They said, where have you been? We were worried to death. You know, I had to be about my Father's business. Here's a 12-year-old. I had to be about my Father's business. We should be about our Father's business, guys. That's what we're called to do. So don't think that means we don't, you know, serve the Lord. It just means that we may not have our specific God-prepared call until God's proper time. Ecclesiastes 3:11. I love this verse. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And not until then. God has a timing for everything. The hard part for us is understanding that time and being able to wait for it. And this was hard for Moses as well. So that's encouraging to me and should be encouraging to you guys. And sometimes the wait can actually be a real stumbling block. And you know, when you wait so long, you think, I know God said this. I know He said it. And time goes by. A week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years. I know God said this. That can be a stumbling block. If we really believe in our heart God said it, we still have to wait longer. And this is amazing to me. When you think about Moses' life, Moses was so stumbled by the weight that he had because he knew that God had told him he was called to do this. He knew in his heart he was called. How do we know that? Because he said that he thought they would know. We'll see that in just a moment in another scripture. But so much so for Moses that by the time God tells him, all right, Moses, now it's time. By the time we see Moses, when this is all done, 40 years later, from the time Moses is doing this now, can you imagine missing your call by 40 years too early? You talk about having to wait. That's almost depressing. I had 40 years to wait. And that's why I go to God and say, I don't have that long. I'll be dead probably, you know. I mean, I don't know if I'll make it 40 years, you know, but God knows that. And God will time what our call with how long He needs to preparation to do what He wants to do. And you know what? God can do a lot in a short amount of time. You know, if you have a dull axe and you try to whack on trees, I've done that before. Try to cut them down. You're like beating the thing. It's like beating it with a hammer. You know, it makes a good thud, but that's it. You get something really sharp, two or three whacks, you're like, man, this is the way to go. That's what the believer is like, that God has molded and shaped over all the years. And when it's time for that axe to hit its place, hit its mark, the tree will come down very rapidly. God will complete the work he wanted to do, but sometimes it takes a lot of prep. And a lot of us, like me, take a lot more prep. And so Moses had a lot of prep work to do, but it's amazing to me, and this is encouraging to me, because Moses, again, the stumbling block for Moses was it took so long for this to come to pass Get this. By the time that God had Moses where he wanted Moses to be, Moses didn't even want to do the call anymore, and he didn't have the strength to do it, he said. I don't have the strength, I'm too old, and I don't even want to do it anymore. And the sad thing is, that's usually when God can do his greatest work, for the type of personality that thinks they can do it. Now, that may not be true for everybody, but most of us, if we think there's something we can do, God has let us come to the place to where we know we can't. And when you look at Moses' life, it is truly a testimony of how God works and how we need to learn to wait. Get this, 40 years he was trained. His life is broken up into three sections of 40 as we get into Moses. Now, again, probably none of us in this room will live to be 120. There are people today that still live that old. I think there's somebody 130 right now or something. So people do still live that old. And by the way, I think it's a lady in Israel or something. She drinks an 8-ounce glass of olive oil every day. And everybody around them start drinking that or something. I'm like, oh, wow. I'm not saying that's what made her get to 120 to 130, but that's pretty, you know, all the parts are well lubed, I can tell you that. So she's running good. But Moses' life here, three groups of 40. And for 40 years, he was trained up in the ways of, and the wisdom of the world. Pharaoh's household, the best universities you could give him. He had the highest degrees and the best universities. And how do we know that? Because that's what the Pharaohs did with their kids. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically what his education was, but it just tells us he was well educated. That's what you did. This was the most powerful nation in the world, and this was a Pharaoh. It would be like a king. It's not even like a president today. This is a king, and this is the king's kid. So the best education that you could possibly get. Did that for 40 years. No wonder he thought he was ready. Now, the next phase of his life, phase number two, he had 40 more years. God took him to the backside of the desert to get the world out of him and to teach him how to walk by the Spirit. Think of that. He learned how to get things done in the world, and God said, that's great, but I can't use you until you learn how to get things done in the Spirit. You know, just getting a degree in Bible college and going and standing behind a pulpit doesn't make you an effective pastor. You've got a piece of paper. I love the story about the young pastor that got up in the pulpit, and he got his degree, and he was ready. It was his first time, you know, true story. And it was his first time teaching. He was all excited. He graduated top of his class, and he was ready. He gave his message. It was a total flop, complete flop. And he just, you know, came up real happy, ready to go, excited. He went out just so depressed and broken and ran to the back and kind of disappeared. And there was an old woman in the congregation that said, you know what? If he had come in the way he went out, he would have gone out the way he came in. And that's a lesson for us. It's not saying, I can do this. I'm ready. Come on. You know, and that's really what our society teaches, isn't it? I can do this. I, on a regular basis now, say, I can't do this. But I'm not going to quit because I know I'm called. I'm not adequate for this. Who is? This is your word, God. What am I supposed to do? I just try to present it and pray that you'll take it by your Spirit and anoint it and put it in people's heart. And that's all we're to do. And whatever your call is, mine happens to be a pastor, but whatever your call is, that's what you do. It's not your responsibility to make it effective. Now, you need to be in the word and prayer and seeking the Lord, and you need to be walking with God. You know, you can't just live a life of sin and expect God to use you, because he won't. But at the same time, it's God that does the work. God has to do it. Moses now had to spend 40 more years in the backside of the desert, and I jokingly call this his BSD degree. He got all his other degrees from the worldly universities, so to speak. Now he gets his BSD, the backside of the desert. And that's where Moses had to unlearn everything he'd learned, thinking he was about something, so that God could finally use him. And the last section of his life is when his ministry started. As you guys know, at 80 years old, man, what a time to start a ministry. He was finally ready after 40 more years in the back of the desert for what God had called him to do, and it was leading the children of Israel to freedom from Egypt to the promised land of God. This was a powerful ministry God gave him. It's also interesting that in the preparation to God, you know, time that God gave him here, God took him to the very place he'd be leading the children of Israel for the next 40 years. You ever think about that? God took Moses out in the wilderness. That's the area that he led them for the next 40 years. He knew that area. Moses had to go there first before he could take anybody else. Here's my point. When God is preparing you for ministry, if you're going to be able to minister to men or to women or to children or to whoever you're ministering to, God's got to take you there first so that he can minister to them through you. And I've found over the years in many of the situations, I didn't notice it at first, but I'm starting to recognize it now. Some of the things that God sends Tracy and I through are so we can lead you guys through it. I honestly believe now that some of the tests and trials we go through, we don't necessarily need for what God wants to do in our life. But we need it for what God wants us to understand about your life. How am I going to know what you feel like if I'm never depressed? If you fight with depression, how am I going to know if I never taste that? If you have emotional struggles in certain areas, how am I ever going to know what you feel like if I don't emotionally struggle somewhere? If you have struggles, you know, I always was a high energy guy. Always, my whole life, you know, high energy. Go, 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 and do it now. And then after years and years and years of that in the ministry, suddenly this issue of fatigue comes into my life. And God's really ministered to my heart, Mark. How are you going to know what people are like who are fatigued if you're never fatigued? How are you going to know what it's like to lose sleep if you sleep good every night? So understand that when God takes you through all the stuff you're going through right now, rather than feeling sorry for yourself, realizing you're in boot camp. God's got to teach you what it's like to have these struggles you're having so that when somebody comes up to you and has the same struggle, it's not just, I'll pray for you, brother. It's, you know what, let's pray. It's a whole different heart. And you begin to pray your heart into that person's life. There's nothing but going through that pain yourself that does that. You can't associate. And so Moses had to learn to associate. God had to really take Moses through the wilderness himself before he could know what it was like to lead others in the wilderness. And then from that wilderness, learn to trust in God's provision. When I was in those wilderness 40 years, Moses might say, God always fed me. God always gave me water. God was always faithful to me. So now when I'm with this huge fellowship out in the wilderness, God's going to do the same thing. And now I can encourage you guys that are in the wilderness with me, Moses might say, this is exactly what God's going to do. And there's confidence. I've shared this with you guys before, but it's a great example for me because it really set me free. I'm so glad it happened at an early time on. But I learned early on that God will take care of me financially. It's a lesson I learned early on. And the reason I say I'm so glad I learned it is because I don't sweat now when the bills are due. When something's not there, whether it's personal or whether it's for the church, I'm not saying it doesn't get my attention. But I've just learned that if I'm in the middle of God's will, it's going to be taken care of. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I'm being a good steward, God has promised he'll do that. He said in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. I learned that early on, my first few years of my Christian walk. And God put me in a situation where I had to learn it. I didn't have much choice. But now I'm so thankful for that. Because now when those times come, God was preparing me. I didn't know. When we came here and started the study, you know, it was like you didn't know from week to week, are we going to have the money to pay? I knew we would somehow, but it's like, where's it going to come from? I don't know. I know I'm not going to get paid enough to pay the rent. I know that. I know we're not going to have enough for the groceries we need. That much I'm up on. I know that. What I don't know is how's God going to do it? And miracle after miracle, you know, envelopes in the mail. Just miracle things all the time. So regular that you just go, I see now why you sent me through that early on, God, so that when I came to a time where there wouldn't be enough money to pay my family's bills, I would know that you're going to do it. And he did. He did. It's just incredible. So Moses had to learn what it was like to be out there and to find out what it was like. He had everything he wanted in the palace. I mean, what could he lack? And more. And now he's got to learn I've got to depend on God. Because I've got to learn to depend on God before I can lead God's people into depending on God. And how can you say with confidence and boldness God's going to take care of it if you hadn't experienced it? So Moses, again, he had to go there so he could lead others there. And if you're like me, it's a little depressing to think about 80 years of prep work, you know, before Moses was ready to go. But as I said, especially when most of us, you know, I don't know if we'll live to be 80. We hope we will. But how much beyond that, I don't know. But again, God knows what it takes to get us where we need to be, and God will take care of that. And it's also important to note that oftentimes the time needed for prep depends on the call. It depends on what your call is, how long God has to give you the prep time. I think the less prep time needed, maybe the call's not as large. That doesn't mean you're a lesser Christian. God just gives us different calls. The longer the prep time, typically, the greater the ministry. That's what we see in the scriptures anyway. I can't say that it always goes that way. But you look at Moses here. Moses had a huge call on his life. That meant that Moses had huge preparation time. Moses was going to have a church of over 2 million people. And it wasn't just a church of over 2 million people. It was a church of 2 million people in the wilderness. And it wasn't just a church of 2 million people in the wilderness. It was a church of 2 million people in the wilderness that grumbled and complained about Moses all the time. It would take 40 years of preparation for that. You with me? And so God said, Moses, I know what you're going to need to be able to make this and really get them where they need to be. And I've got to make you this kind of person that can do that. So there's a lot of prep work We need to make sure that just because we're having to wait doesn't mean that God hadn't called us. Don't let it be a stumbling block. Don't quit. Realize that God is preparing you. God is prepping you, and just bloom where you're planted. Continue to serve. Well, let's jump into it. Remember last time we saw Moses, and he again was rescued from being put in the Nile, and the miracle of, you know, God bringing him into Pharaoh's palace or whatever. God was going to take care of him. God was raising up a deliverer for the nation right in the very home of the man who was killing all the babies. This is Moses. And now we come to verse 11. 40 years have gone by since last week. See how fast time goes? 40 years from when he pulled him out till now, 40 years of time. And all we find out again is that he had the best education, the best this and that, etc. there in Egypt. Now we take up 40 years later in verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own brethren. Now, by this time, Moses was turning 40, and he began to feel the burden of his fellow Jews. He knew he was a Jew. He learned this by now. He knew that they were out there, his brothers, his kind, if you will, serving, and they were slaves, and they were being beaten, and they were being mistreated, and they were under this great bondage. And again, it's interesting. The word bondage here means compulsory, burdensome toil. In other words, they had to do it because they were slaves. And he knew that. He said, here I am living in the palace, and my brothers and sisters are out there under this burdensome, compulsory, forced slavery. How can I sleep at night? I'm in a position of power. I've got authority. I've got to go help them. So understand, Moses, his heart was right, but Moses' timing was way off because God wasn't going to do it this way in this timing. And again, he has to learn that. And notice now it says he goes among them. He not only sees their hardship, he sees how hard it is. He's riding among them, and it kind of gives a picture in the language there of really observing how hard these guys have it. It's like riding through a bad neighborhood in a car, you know, and maybe you're on a missions trip, and you look around going, oh my goodness, look at these people. They're starving to death. There's no supply for medicine. There's no supply for food, and your heart is gripped, and you're looking at that. And this is what the wording here means, okay? So we get a picture of this. I'm trying to put it in a modern-day picture for you. And as you're riding down the neighborhood, not only do you see these people emaciated and mistreated and all these things, somebody's beating one of them up who's strong. One of the country's officials who has food and has all this is smacking them around. How would you feel inside? Game on, right? That's Moses. So understand, Moses' passion was good. Nothing wrong in Moses' passion and wanting to do something, but we're going to see that Moses just did it the wrong way, and again, in the wrong timing. But he's beating this guy. The Egyptian sees him beating a fellow Jew. He's moved with indignation. And again, Egypt and Egyptians being a picture of the world, this is, you know, oftentimes when we go among our brethren, so to speak, or the world, we see all types of injustices, and we're moved as well. And there's nothing wrong in that. However, when this happens, we need to make sure that we get God's direction and know how God wants to respond. And we'll see that Moses does not respond in the right way at all. And so, feeling the call of God, you know, to deliver them from this bondage, he takes measures in his own hand. Again, the heart was right, the call was right, but the approach and the timing all wrong. And now we're going to see it fails. And so, again, note this, guys, because we as Christians are oftentimes moved by the same thing. I'm not saying that we should have, you know, be inactive when we see these things taking place. I'm saying we've got to find out what it is God wants us to be involved in, what it is that God wants us to do. And when we see people in the world around us, whether it be in slavery to their sin or whether it be in slavery to their poverty and where they live, you know, we've got to find God's heart in. Again, doesn't mean we wait on God's timing to share our faith or to reach out and try to help them maybe in some need that they have. But get this, it does mean that we often have to wait on our specific call in that endeavor. And so the timing for the gospel is always ready. There's never a time you have to say, I'm going to wait for the gospel. That's always ready. Now, you need to use tact when you're sharing with certain people. But don't get me wrong, the timing of the gospel is always ready, but certain calls are not always ready. So now Moses sees this specific need. He's heard the call in his life. But without prayer and seeking God's face, you know, and having faith, he now steps out to do something about it, but he does it all wrong. Guys, note this. This is so important for us when we feel that God's moving our heart to get involved in something. We need to make sure that we get God's heart first. Make sure we seek the Lord and get God's heart first. And notice Moses sees the Egyptian beating up the Hebrew, steps in to help. And this is what's interesting. He expected... We're going to see in a moment, the New Testament tells us, when Stephen's recounting this to the Sanhedrin, he expected they would understand he was called to do this. He expected that they would realize why he was doing it, and he was called to do it, but they didn't recognize it at all. As a matter of fact, we're going to see the guy mocking him, you know, mocking Moses in the midst of this. Acts 7, 23 and 25, when Stephen's standing in front of the Sanhedrin, listen to what Stephen says when he's recounting Moses' life here and what the Lord had done in his life. Listen to what it says. Now, when Moses was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. And this is key. Note this. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And why didn't they understand? Because he had not yet been given authority from God to carry out his call. And until we've been given that authority from God, people are not going to recognize it, nor is there going to be fruit in it. And that's why we have to learn to wait. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit filling us, the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, and then we move out in the power of God. You know, Jesus told the disciples, he said, wait. Remember, he said, wait in Jerusalem until you're what? Endued with power from on high. He said, don't even go start spreading the gospel till you have power, because you don't have the strength to do it. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Don't try to work it up in your own strength. Don't assume that you can have some authority because you call yourself pastor or whatever it might be. You know, the authority I have has nothing to do with a title. You know, I don't have that much authority, but I have authority given from God to minister to you the word of God. But I have that authority because God gave it. I don't have that authority because of a piece of paper or a degree or because somebody believed in me or whatever. It's the call of God. And so once we have that authority from God, then all we simply do at that time is walk in it. Moses did not have it. Moses steps out, and notice what he does, verse 12. So he looked this way, and he looked that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. Now notice, Moses looked this way and looked that way, but he didn't look up. And see, that was Moses' problem. He saw a real need that needed to be met. He saw a real concern, a real injustice, a real oppression, something that was wrong. But the problem is he forgot to include God in the decision. He forgot to ask God what to do, to seek the Lord, to find out when God was to do it, how God wanted him to do it. And God had not shown him a time or a way yet. And so, again, notice Moses' first attempt at ministry resulted in death. I think a lot of guys, especially guys that go out and plant churches, their first attempt at ministry is it just kind of dies. I remember in Greg Laurie, I mean, come on, we know of Greg Laurie, those of you guys that are involved in Calvary Chapel. Greg Laurie, when Greg Laurie went out and started the ministry, there was a church of 300 people he took over. And he said in 6 months, it grew to 80. He said the people were dropping like flies. This guy's one of the most anointed guys on the gospel on the planet right now. He's like a modern-day Billy Graham. He truly is, if you know much about Greg Laurie and how God's using him around the world. And yet, God allowed Greg Laurie to flop and fall on his face for the first part of his ministry because he had to learn, it's not by you, Greg. I've given you gifts. Yeah, you can speak in front of a crowd, and you've got a good voice, and you're charismatic, and you can. But you know what? It's not about that. I'm not impressed with that. You got to learn it's me. And when he learned that, God just lifted him up and is using him in greater ways than he'll ever use me, that's for sure. And many other people, and that's awesome. But again, it's the lessons he had to learn first.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that He's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what He'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.